It's good to be here. I'm honored and privileged to share the word that God has given me for this morning. If I could please, Mitch, get a whiteboard. I have my marker. Got my markers. Hallelujah. Well, before we do that, I just want and need just to open up in a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it is both bread to our bodies and life to our bones, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word goes out and accomplishes its purpose. It does not go and just be void and just float in the atmosphere, but it is life. It is living and it is creative. Lord, we just pray that your word would just penetrate our hearts, Lord. That you would search us out, show us things, Lord, that we need to see, things that we need to hear, Lord. We thank you for your life-giving word. We thank you for your love, Lord, and we welcome you here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn in our Bibles. If you have your Bible, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60, starting in verse 1, declares, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light, mighty kings will come to see your radiance." Now, this has been a scripture that has rung out for this year. When Bridge Builders were here and we did our 18 hours of prayer, this seems to be something that the Lord has been speaking to them as well. And God is doing something. I mean, we look at the news and things seem pretty bad. I mean, we know about the ISIS terrorist groups, and it always seems like there's new, you know, some new illness, some new, you know, like resistant virus or bacteria that's out there. There's always some new, you know, disease or something that's going on. But, you know, and Calvin recently had given a message about how, you know, things are getting pretty bad in the world, but it's awesome because, you know, the darker there is out there, the brighter the glory of God shines. The brighter he becomes to everybody. And it's no surprise. The word says that, you know, things are going to be bad. And we take it as an opportunity to shine God's light. We take it as an opportunity to give people hope when they need it most. And real quick, I know that I did not talk to you about this till right now, but Lucy, if you can please come here for just a second. So the darker the world, the brighter the glory of God shines. The awakening, there's been, from the little clips that we saw of starting the year off right, it really blessed me. And I'm excited to watch the rest of the DVDs. But, you know, something that was shared, that was prophesied, and that rung so true in my heart is that there is an awakening of the glory of God happening. Now, it's not like it's going to happen, like we're praying it off in some distant far place. It's happening now. The glory of God is awakening. There are things happening. And real quickly, Mitch had just told me a couple days ago, if you don't know, there is the youth at our youth group started a Bible club at the high school called New Gen Bible Club. It is not just for faith ministries. It involves youth from all different churches and kids that don't go to church. There, at last count that I knew of, there was like 30 kids that have been regularly going, meeting in a classroom. And Mitch had just told me a few days ago about something awesome that had happened in your club. So if you can please just share real quick.
So last Monday, there's these four guys, I think they were freshmen guys, and they weren't going to go to the Bible club. And so they went and they stayed there. And then at the end, I did the prayer of the salvation prayer too, you know, and they asked God to come into their heart. And one of them were all like, oh, this is so cool, you know, I want to come back. And so that really blessed me, you know, because I'm actually like reaching out to people.
Awesome. Thank you. So last Monday in school, in a place where we think that is off limits to being able to move and do things, there were four guys that got saved. And there was, you know, they've been having people getting saved. God is doing things. His glory is on the rise. And, you know, I want to go back to chapter 60 and read verses 4 and 5. It says, look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. For merchants from around the world will come to you and they will bring you the wealth of many lands. Now, see, this is good news. That's good news for us. God has been speaking to not just us at Faith Ministries, but he has been speaking to his body that this is a time where we're going to see things fulfilled, a time where we are going to be seeing the seeds that we have sown are going to begin to take root and bring forth fruit. We're going to start seeing answers. He's going to start bringing in harvest. It was declared that this is the year of the whirlwind. So if you think about a whirlwind or like a tornado, that's what I think about. You know, you see a whirlwind, it's a circle. But as the circle goes around, yeah, it may be coming to the same spot, but every time it comes around, it's a higher place, a higher place. And so, you know, God has been speaking that he is taking us to a higher level than before. We're going to see things go to a higher level before. The same place, it may look like the same place, but at a higher level. And something so awesome that God did, and I shared this with Johnny Rolette when he was here, was that he was here, and as most of you know, he was here on Super Bowl Sunday. Okay? And he had an awesome and timely word for us from the Lord that truly, truly blessed me. And I encourage you to listen to his messages if you get a chance. But what a lot of people didn't realize was that, yeah, he had come last year. But the last time he had come before last year was about 10 or 12 years ago on a Super Bowl Sunday. He was here. On a Super Bowl Sunday, and Bobby Scott was still here, and we had hooked up the cable, and we were watching Super Bowl in the Sunshine Room, and we had service. And when we had been talking about how this is the year of the whirlwind, if you were here last year, Johnny had shared about how his life had pretty much fallen apart. He went through a lot of struggles, had a lot of issues, and God delivered him and brought him up out of that, and now he's at a higher level than he's ever been before. So when I shared with him about that, I mean, he was just like, oh my gosh, you know, because he was here seemingly at the same time and same place, Super Bowl Sunday, 13 years later, but at a higher place than he was before. God had brought him back around full circle, but to a higher level. And that's what God wants to do with us. Maybe not necessarily the same exact thing like that, obviously, but the word says that he wants to take us from glory to glory. We're going from glory to glory. And so we may not see things different on the outside, but God is saying that things are coming back around, but to a higher level. And when I was preparing, I heard this so loudly that prodigal sons returning. Prodigal sons returning. Things that we thought were lost are not lost, but are coming home, coming around again to a higher level, to a higher place. So, open heavens this year, and we've been declaring it, this is a year of open heavens, a year of receiving things from the Lord. We just read in verse 5 of Isaiah 60 that merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands. That has been something that God has been speaking, there are going to be business opportunities, things opening up. Arizona was declared that wealth was coming in. Things, resources are going to be pulled up out of it. God is speaking things to us. I mean, to me, I don't know about you, like I hear all these things, and there's like an expectation, an excitement, like an urgency. Like, I don't know. The best way I can describe it is if you've ever been in track or you've been to a track meet or whatever, and you see the runners, they're ready to sprint, they're posed, they're ready, they're in their stance, and you can just feel the tension. You know, before that gun goes off, before they explode and they go forward, you can feel it. And that's how I feel, like we are posed and we are ready and something's about to burst forth and happen, and I am just so excited, I'm just sitting there tensed. We are at the right place at the right time. So things are looking pretty bad on the outside. You know, Isaiah 60 verse 2 said, this was however long ago, that darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. I mean, it's no surprise to have darkness. The word says that the devil roars around or goes around like a roaring lion, seeking those who he may devour. It's no surprise that the devil is alive and well and moving the same that he did. You know, he's dumb. But what does it say? But it says darkness as black as night covers all the earth. But it says, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. It rises and appears over you. So are we feeling bound up? Are we feeling burnt up? We got to worship because the glory is on the rise. And I didn't even realize this till I was preparing this. When Calvin had recently reread Isaiah 60, you know, my heart just began to leap, and I'm like, yeah, I gotta reread that. And I didn't even realize that this was the same prophecy that God had given me when we were walking around the schools. He had declared that my glory is on the rise. Things that were once held back are gonna be bursting forth. And he has been speaking this over his people, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, look and see. Look and see. The glory's on the rise. So we got to look. God's speaking something to us. So we got to perk up our ears. We got to pay attention and be ready, be posed, ready to go. Hallelujah. Our worship, our dedication, our love, our actions are going to be what bring people in. Bring people in. And so they can experience that glory. The glory is on the rise. Hallelujah. God is moving in this city. It's been prophesied over Douglas that this will be a healing dome, that there's a healing dome over Douglas, healing central. And we talk about all these things. We've been rediscussing these prophecies because if you don't make them truth in your heart, we can't fully live them out. So we bring them to the forefront of our mind, reminding ourselves what God has said he's going to do so we can walk in it as truth. So Douglas will be, there's a healing dome over Douglas, healing central. But we got to decide, are we going to be a part of it? It's going to happen. It is happening. His glory is on the rise. But are we going to be an active player and usher people in, bringing them in? I mean, God uses us. The word says that we lay our hands on the sick and they are healed. So are we ready to be used however God sees fit? His glory is on the rise. Hallelujah. It's not going to be just talk. There's enough talk in this world. I mean, there's so much media, so much all these things. It's overwhelming. So much talk, but it's going to be our actions. Our actions. Hallelujah. So we need to know who we are and live that truth as our reality. Not by what we see, not by what we feel. What does the word say? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So we need to live as spirit reality. The spirit is our reality. And I'm going to kind of dovetail off a little bit. It seemed like God gave me a lot of stuff that kind of was a continuation of what of Johnny Rillette had shared a couple weeks ago. So if you hear something that sounds familiar, I did, you know, take some things from that and join it with what God had given me today. But we need to know that we have the very being of God on the inside of us. It was so awesome the way that the Lord had given him to share about how, you know, he talked about the sources and how God is our source. And, you know, we are made from dirt and we have God's spirit literally blown into us. God made us and he blew himself, his essence, his being into us and gave us life. So when we die, We know that our body goes back to the earth, but our spirit goes back to its source. We go back to where we came from. Who you are on the inside is not of this world. You may be your mama's son or your daddy's girl, but that is not who you really are. We are God's babies. And so when we die, we go back to our source. So our life is comprised of both spirit and dirt. And what he had shared was how most of us live our lives 90% dirt and 10% spirit. But the glory is on the rise, and God is saying it's time to flip that. It's time to get things back into perspective and stop focusing on the dirt and start focusing on the spirit. And this is not just for pastors or people in ministry. God is saying wherever you are, wherever you are, whether that be school, your work, your house, wherever, you bring the presence of God with you wherever you go because he is in you. The source, your source is God. Hallelujah. So we focus on dirt. We let it lead us. All we care about, you know, we got what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we got to do. We got to pick up the kids. We got to go to work. We got to get all these things done. And none of those things are bad necessarily, but we can't forget about what really matters. We have to flip it. So think about it. Jesus ate, he bathed, he had friends, he had relationships, he, you know, got tired, he slept, he woke up. I mean, he did all the same things that we did, but what was different? I mean, he wasn't in doing ministry all the time. He would, you know, sometimes he would just sit down and enjoy a meal with the disciples. I mean, he took time to enjoy things, but he was always about kingdom business. Number one was the kingdom. He was always ready to move when God said move, whether that be he's sitting by a well wanting some water or, you know, wherever it was, whatever opportunity God put in front of him, he was spirit minded. So he was ready to act and move regardless of whatever environment he was in at the time. First was kingdom, ready to do God's will. So we can't let the busyness of life keep us away from God's business. And that's really hard. I mean, and I was preparing that. I'm like, well, God, I mean, I got a lot to do, you know? I mean, I have 2 kids, a house full of animals. I got to work. I got to get stuff done for church. It's like, but we can't let our busyness keep us away from his business. So the word says that Jesus said that if we put anything in front of him or first before him, we are not worthy of being his. And that's, I mean, that can hurt a little bit to think about that. But the glory is on the rise, and we have to be spirit-minded, ready to move whenever the Spirit would lead us. Be sensitive, being sensitive. So let's turn in the word to Daniel 3. Daniel 3. All right. So, pretty familiar Bible account, okay? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, summarizing, King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered the land, and Daniel and his 3 friends were part of the young handsome, smart, good-looking noblemen that were basically kidnapped and taken to the kingdom, taught new language, new customs, all these things. But Daniel and these 3 guys here chose to maintain their faithfulness to God despite their situation. And I want to go through and read a little bit of this. So it starts out in the beginning of chapter 3. We pretty much know this. Nebuchadnezzar, he was a pretty, you know, proud guy, had a really big head. You know, he was almighty and all that stuff. He thought he was so great. So he made a statue, a gold statue of himself. The word says 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and set it up in a plain in the province of Babylon. And what happened was all these instruments would sound, and then that would signal that everybody needed to bow down and worship the statue. So this happened, and the you know, instruments sounded and everybody bowed down. And of course, there were these tattletale guys that didn't like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they came and, King Nebuchadnezzar, you never guess, you never understand. You know, these three guys, they're not bowing down to you. They're not doing it. And you had said that if anybody didn't do it, then you're going to throw them into a blazing furnace. So verse 13 says, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. They were brought in, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my power? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Okay, so then Nebuchadnezzar got really mad, says that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he ordered the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flame killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Then suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? Verse 25, look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here. So they came out, they stepped out of the fire, and they saw that the fire had not touched them, not a hair on their heads were singed, and their clothes were not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own. And then he said, therefore I make this decree of any people, whatever their race, nation, or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned to heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. Hallelujah. They refuse to worship the gods of this world, and the power of their God, my God, your God, saved them. Did he save them from the fire? No. But he was with them in it. Because of their worship, because of their dedication, their love, their trust in God, they said, the God whom we serve, because of their worship of him, the only part that was burned off was the ropes that bound them. So we can't focus on the problem. We can't focus on the dirt or on the fire. Because God had a plan to restore perfect spirit relationship with himself so we could have presence with him wherever, whenever, in the fire, in the dirt, wherever, and he did it through Jesus. So we can't give more power to the fire than we're going to give to God. We can't give more power to the problem, the situation that's in front of us, than we're giving to God. Hallelujah. The problem, the fire, the dirt, that's not the truth. There are people today that still come to church regularly that are still bound up. And we recently talked about this, David and the Ark. I mean, they had 20 years. They functioned 20 years without the presence of God in their midst, and yet they still did church. I mean, we can do church and not have the presence of God. We can do church and still come bound up and leave the same bound. The issue is worship. The issue is the presence of God. We have to have the presence of God. We don't come here so we can feel good about ourselves because we fulfilled our obligation. We came, we dressed up, we looked nice. We came and we saw people, they saw us, so they know we're coming to church, and then go out and live the same way that we do and wonder why we're still bound up. The issue is worship. The truth is our source is God. We're designed to be carriers of his presence. He blew us into him so that we could carry him wherever we go. The word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that means in the fire, in the dirt, in the miry pit, he is there with us. Matthew 7:13-14, I'm just going to read it because it's here. It says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. This is Matthew 7:13-14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. You know, I mean, we know that song, that rock song, Highway to Hell. Ridiculous. I mean, before I really, you know, you would hear and I would, you see people like working out and stuff and they have all these songs and, or like they use it like as a pump up song, like in movies. You see it like in previews, like, yeah. And like, really? Like, are you happy about this? I mean, no, that's dumb. That's dumb. But so many people, and the word says it, it's easy. It's broad. There's lots of room. Come on. Everybody's doing it. We can all go. But the path to heaven is hard. Carrying the presence of God isn't always easy. It's not easy to stand up and be different when everybody else is doing something else. It's not easy to sit there and keep your mouth shut when everybody is bad-mouthing so-and-so who deserves it, but you're sitting there like, I know God doesn't want me to talk about them. It's hard to carry the presence. It's not easy, but God has called us to a higher standard of living. Say, my glory is on the rise. Raise your standard to the level of my glory, and I will be with you always. We cannot live in the dirt because we are not dirt. Hallelujah. Don't give the ropes, the sins that tie us up, or the fire, the situations that burn us up, more power, authority, or tension than the presence of God. Does that mean that they're not present? No. But what do we choose to focus on? The fire? No. We focus on our God, who is great, and he will save us from your power, Nebuchadnezzar, but even if he doesn't, we will not serve you. So even if we're in the fire, he's there with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the focus, your focus is where you'll end up, okay? Where our focus is where we'll end up. And you say, well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't focused on the fire, but they still ended up in it. So, what do you have to say? I mean, true, they did end up in the fire, but were they bound in it? No. The word says that there were four men walking around in the fire. Yeah, the fire existed, but they weren't sitting there frozen, bound up. They were walking in it, moving in it, existing. God never promised us an easy life. In fact, the word clearly states that we have to be ready to suffer for him. And it's a hard pill to swallow. I mean, I get to those verses and I'm sitting and I have my Bible and I'm an underliner and a highlighter. So I mark up my stuff. And I had a little reality check a while back. I was reading through a bunch of stuff and it was like, yeah, that's so good. Highlighting it. And then I got to a scripture that says, and you must be willing to suffer. And I got my highlighter and ooh, I didn't highlight that part. I mean, I didn't underline that part and say, yes, you know, draw a little happy face around it next to it. But the truth is, the word says that we're not going to always have an easy lifestyle. The fires will come. The rocks will come. The storms will come. But where is our focus? Where is our focus? Have we decided that the presence is worth it, is more important than the fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have very easily bowed down and worshiped, but said, God, you know, I'm doing this, but you know, in my heart, I still love you. I mean, you think about martyrs. Think about the people, I mean, I know this was a long time ago, but Columbine, that were literally shot for their faith, and it's happening all over the world. People being killed, ISIS, we know all about this. I mean, they're murdering Christians. We watched that video not too long ago about, you know, the family in the Middle East that was literally preparing their kids. You have to be ready. And it doesn't matter what they do to you, because where you're going is better than now. So we can't bow down to what everybody else is doing and saying, but God, you really know my heart and you know that I'm not really. No, that doesn't win people over. What won the kingdom over was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand for the truth. They weren't a closet believer. And there's too many Christians out there that are closet believers that only listen to Christian music when their friends aren't around, or only, you know, pray to God when nobody's watching, or read their word when, you know, they're behind their door and their mom and dad can't see because they don't want them to, you know, say anything. I mean, we have to live our life out loud because the glory is on the rise. We have to decide, have we counted up the cost? So the three weren't focused on the ropes or the fire, but on God. Were they scared? Probably. I mean, geez, I would have been. But the truth of God was bigger than the lie of the fire. So we can't focus on the sin that's trying to bound us up or the fire that that we're in. Bring the presence, bring the worship in. Focus on the truth of God. Even if you fall, even if you sin, even if you get tied up, you focus, change your focus. Focus on what's right and not on what's wrong. Focus on you and God. Focus on the greatness of God. You worship in the middle of your fire. Worship in the middle of the fire. Get your eyes off of it and worship him. Stephen, Acts 7, the account of Stephen. The word says that Stephen was an awesome man of God, that he did, you know, miracles and exploits for God. And, you know, the council, the religious council, had arrested him and brought him before them. And he gave this awesome, you know, he basically told him what was up. I mean, he laid it all out. He gave him the truth. Went from beginning to end of, you know, what God did, and then Jesus came and what he did. And, of course, they didn't like it. Let's go there. Acts 7. Acts chapter 7. Stephen. So chapter 6, verse 8 says, Stephen, a man full of God, grace, and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started a debate with him. And so he was arrested. And chapter 7 says everything that Stephen said to them, declaring the word of the Lord to them. And starting in verse 51, it says, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, and even though you received it from the hands of angels. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing at the place of honor at God's right hand, and he told them, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they pulled their hands, they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. So they literally did that, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear the truth. And they rushed at him and dragged him out of the city, began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul, who, glory to God, later became Paul. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. Hallelujah. Stephen worshiped in the midst of being stoned, in the midst of being accused. He worshiped and saw God in the midst of, I mean, That's worship. To have stones literally pummeling your body, killing you, and your focus is not on the stones, but on the glory of God. He saw Jesus. The love of God is what holds us together when everything else falls apart. The love of God. There's that song, when everything falls apart, your arms hold me together. Do you know what I'm saying? Anyways, the love of God holds us together. Romans 8, go there. Acts Romans, it's God's love. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day and are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. So did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went in the fire, did that mean that God hated them? No. When Stephen was being stoned, did that mean that God hated him? No. Did God hate him when he was being stoned? No. Did he hate Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fire? No. Despite all these things, in the NIV version it says, yet in all these things, yet in the fire, yet in the mire, yet in the dirt, yet with the stones, we have victory. Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have victory? They did. Did Stephen have victory? Stephen died, but he had victory. He saw the glory of God. That was the last thing he saw. And he said, God, take me. Because what I see before me, I mean, it compares not to what I'm experiencing now. His eyes were fixed and focused on the greater glory. Hallelujah. So, all right. So, I know you guys probably can't see this. All right, so we start off life. You're born, all right? So here's your little dot. That's you. And you're on this journey of life, and here's your goal down here, okay? We think in our life that, you know, a lot of us think that from where we're started to where our goal should be this straight line. But that's not the case. I mean, 99.9% of the time, that's not the case. We start off, and we get to, here's our goal down here. Our journey is not always straight. Sometimes it goes like this. But what matters is that you keep going, that you never stop, that you may turn, you may go back a little bit, but turn around, fix your gaze on your goal, and go ahead, move forward. It's not always straight and easy road. Yeah, sometimes you may fall. Sometimes you may mess up. But God says, get up and keep going, because the glory that's ahead is better than what you're experiencing now. So to get to our goal, keep going. Hallelujah. Okay, so another way to look at this, do a little graph here for those of you that are in school. I'm sorry if this doesn't bring back a traumatic memory. Okay, so here we are. We'll just call this the dirt line. Okay, dirt, sin, whatever you want to call it, fire. And here is the God line. Here's us. Okay, our goal is not to stay on this horizontal plane where everybody else is, focused on the dirt, focused on, you know, your life now, what you feel, what you see, it's all about you. Our goal is up here with God. We go from here to here. What is this line? How do we get here? This is worship. The more we worship, the more we get pulled out of the dirt, the sin, the fire, all that focus, and the closer we get to God through worship. Yet in all these things, when you're ascending, does this line disappear? No, the line is still there. The dirt is still there. The fire is still there. But the worship takes your focus out of that, gets you closer to God. Yet in all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. Yet in all of these things, yet in the darkness, Isaiah 60 says that the darkness surrounds all the nations of the earth. But yet in all these things, the glory is on the rise. Yet in all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Hallelujah. The word says that we are more than a conqueror. So back to Daniel 3, when it talked about, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had these guys tie them up. If you read in there, it says that he had the strongest men in the kingdom tie him up, the strongest guards. So some of the strongest men in the kingdom, think of it as this worldly kingdom, tied them up. Well, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what's got a hold on me. I mean, if you really knew what had me tied up, I mean, you would understand. Were those strong men stronger than God? There's nothing more powerful than God. It doesn't matter what your sin issue is. It doesn't matter what fire you're in. There's nothing that's more powerful than God. Matthew 12:29 says, "For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods?" Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. 1 John 4:4, we should know this. 1 John 4:4 says, "But the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit that lives in the world." The Spirit that lives in you, the essence of God that he blew into you and put into you, is more powerful than whatever worldly device ties you up. It's more powerful than whatever fire is burning around you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So what set them free? Worship. Their worship set them free because it releases the source in you. It releases the source. Psalms 22:3 says that God literally dwells in the praises of his people. I mean, he literally lives there. In my head, it's like, well, how do you? But he does. And if you read in Revelation, it talks about how these angelic beings and all these things, he's literally surrounded by praise 24/7. So when we worship him, when we focus on him, we are putting ourselves there in his presence. We release the source. So something should have told them, you know, something's different here. When the fire itself was killing the guards, and yet they were still there. I mean, the fire's getting so hot that the guards are dying, but they didn't realize yet, they're okay. Did their binds separate them from God's love? No. Did the flames? No. But there was a fourth man standing there in the fire with them. Jesus walking around there in the fire with them. He's there in our storms saying, come to me, come walk on the water, come. Worship invites him in. Worship brings him on the scene. Worship is what burns off the ropes. Worship is the fire suit that keeps us from getting burned. Worship is what makes us walk on the water. Worship sets us up for victory. Hallelujah. Psalms 56, verses 3 and 4 says, "But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" And it says, and I forget exactly where, but the word says, don't fear people that can only kill your body. The one whom we should really revere, really fear, really respect is God. Hallelujah. So when I'm afraid, when I'm afraid, we put our trust in God. When I'm afraid, I worship. When I'm in the fire, I worship. When I'm in the dirt, I worship. We change our focus. So I will continue to worship in the fire, in the dirt, in the prison. I will worship in the storm. I will worship. Johnny Rolette had talked about, you know, his sermon was about getting off the bull and how, you know, we have these issues and it's like, you know, a bull rider, they're on this bull and they can get off the bull, but bulls come back around. And if they're not out of the path, they end up right back where they started and sometimes worse off than before. So When we change, when our focus changes, we get out of the cycle. As long as we are self-focused, we're going to stay in the same cycle. As long as we are dirt-focused, we will never get up to this higher playing field. We can loose ourselves from the bull, but it's coming back around. And if we don't look up, we're not going to get out of its path. So we have to change our focus, like Stephen. I mean, Johnny said, you put it off, the instructor said, put your focus on some far off distant place. Stephen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put their focus on some far off place, saw the glory of God, and began to worship, and it took them there. So what's the truth? The word says that that God is looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. What is truth? The truth is God is great. God is victorious. God is strong. God is mighty to save. He is healer. All those things, that's truth. That is why we worship here the way that we do. It's easy to sing. I mean, there are thousands of songs that we could sing. Thousands. It's easy to sing about songs. I mean, it's easy to sing about us and what we feel. I mean, but what we feel, what we see, what our emotions are, that's not always truth. I mean, what we perceive is not always reality. It's easy to be focused on ourselves, but our feelings and our emotions lie to us. That's horizontal focus. That's this. Focusing on what we see, hear, feel, have gone through. But this is vertical worship. And we talk about that a lot. That's taking ourselves out of the picture and focusing on who God is and what he's done. When we sang that last song today, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. That had nothing to do with us. It had nothing to do with how we feel, what we have gone through. And yet it took us there. It took us there because it wasn't about us. It removed us from the dirt. It took us out of this world and put us at the higher field. It brought us into the glory. God cannot lie. So you focus on who he is, on what he said, what he's done, what he's said in his word. That is the truth. And the word says that the truth shall set us free. That's why vertical worship takes us higher, because when we focus on the truth of who God is, we take ourselves out of the lie of our own emotions, our own self. It sets us free and it takes us into his presence. So we worship in the middle of our fire. You think about Paul. We read about, you know, he was Saul. He became Paul, this awesome man of God. But I mean, he went through a lot. He went through a lot. And, you know, there was one time he was a prisoner and he was on a ship. They were going somewhere and the ship was shipwrecked and they ended up on this island and they were gathering firewood and he was minding his own business. He was gathering firewood and a snake bit him. Okay. So he stood up, he shook off the snake and he kept going. Well, of course, everybody around him blamed him for it. Oh, well, you know, God must hate him because, I mean, being tempted by something doesn't make you a bad person. Being tempted by something doesn't mean you're a bad person. Having a sin issue doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It's what you do with it today that matters. What you do with it right now. When the snake is on your arm, you have the fire in your face. I mean, all this stuff. The mud is in your face. The fire is looking at your body. Are you going to lay down and die to that snake that's biting you on the arm? Or are you going to stand up, shake it off, and live? When they were in the fire, they weren't just standing there frozen, but walking in it. God's glory is on the rise, and he wants us to know greater is he that is in us. So if we fall, we just got to get up, put our focus back on a higher place, put our focus back on his glory, and move forward. Keep going. Despite any obstacles, despite what fire, what snake can come in our way. Because the word says that greater is he that is in us. The word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word says that I am more than a conqueror, that he'll train our hands for battle. The word says we have to focus on what the word says. You are bigger and better than the snake. All right. How many of you have ever sinned before? Anybody? Everybody? All right. Let's make a comparison. How many of you have ever had a booger, had to blow your nose ever in your life? Okay. Sorry. I'm a nurse. I think a lot about like health and body stuff, and sometimes that's just how it kind of correlates to me. So, and I literally have this in my notes in my Bible that sins are like boogers. Okay? Sins are like boogers. So you're sitting there, and everybody has had this experience, okay? So don't pretend you haven't, because you're lying. And so you're sitting there minding your own business. You kind of just scrunch your face a little bit, and you feel a little scratchy poke up there. You feel something, and you're like, oh, okay. Or maybe you feel like a little dribble. You're like, oh, I need tissue. So you go and you get a tissue, you blow your nose, or if, you know, you don't have one, you use your, you flick it, and you go on. All right? Or you can do the farmer's whatever. Anyways, I tried that once, and it went like, bleh, like all over. It did not work. So I don't know how guys do it. They just like shoot it out. Anyways, same thing with spit. I don't know, guys can like condense their spit and like shoot it, and I try to, I don't know. Anyways, so sins are like boogers. What do you do when you have a booger? You realize it's there, you pick it, and you get rid of it. You don't sit there, and you've seen little kids. And then you're like, no. You know, we have to do the same thing with our sin. We realize it's there. Pick it. Don't look at it. Don't play with it. Don't mess around with it. You just pick it, throw it away, get on with your life. I mean, yeah, don't recycle it. I mean, the word says that when we repent of our sins and go back to it, that it's like a dog going back to its own vomit. I don't know anybody here that wants to eat their own puke. That's nasty. Yeah, it's gross. But that's what the word says. It is the same. We got to realize you are not a bad person because you have a booger in your nose. You're not a bad person because you have a sin issue that you need to deal with. But what God is telling you is that once you know it's there, that's the main battle. Then deal with it, throw it away, and get on with your life. You don't go to somebody and say, you never guess. I had the biggest, I just have a booger, you know, and it's like, no, I mean, you just deal with it and move on. You don't need to tell everybody about it. You don't need to come over and cry about it, how you had to blow your nose, you know, whatever. I mean, we are warriors. God says that in his word that he will train our hands for battle. God doesn't need no dribble nose warriors. He says, wipe your nose, deal with what you got to deal with, and let's go. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, people. Perk your ears up, get in line with the glory that God is saying is on the rise, and let's go. There's bigger fish to fry than your little old booger. So, got sin? Okay. We all do. We all got some issue we got to deal with. So deal with it, realize it, deal with it, throw it away. Okay? Revelation. Root word of revelation is to reveal. To be revolutionized, we need a revolution of ourselves. We need to realize who we are. How many of you have ever seen the movie Princess Diaries? It's kind of old now, but when I was younger, it came out. Anyways, Princess Diaries. So she was just some average kid, whatever. And then all of a sudden, she found out she was this princess, and her whole life changed when she knew who she really was. You need to know that you are not a commoner. You are not a commoner. You are not called to live in dirt. You are not called to live in squalor. You are not called to walk on the highway to hell that everybody else is walking on. God has called you for a higher purpose. The word says that we are heirs to his throne, heirs to the kingdom. You are royalty, princes, princesses. We need to realize that and live in that and stop living like everybody else is. Because that's not who we are. And that's not who they are either. And if we don't get our own heads out of the dirt, literally, we can't ever look up and say, hey, you don't need to be living in the dirt either. Hallelujah. It's easy to bow down and do what everybody else is doing. It's easy to stay in the boat. You know, Peter walked on the water. Everybody else stayed in the boat. That's the easier thing to do. It's easy to lay down and die when the snake bites your hand. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19 says that God saved us from an empty lifestyle that we inherited. He saved us from an empty life. God doesn't want us to just exist, to just be. It says that, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. It was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. John 10:10, what does John 10:10 say? For the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly. In the NIV version, it says life to the full. God doesn't want us to be living an empty lifestyle. Tap into your source. You're not empty. You're not empty. You're full. We're full. We just got to realize it. We got to release that X factor, that Jesus factor onto the scene and raise the standard of the atmosphere wherever we are. The word says that it talks about the armor of God, and then it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having done all to stand, stand. Live a life worthy of your calling multiple times. In the New Testament, it says, live a life worthy of your calling. Spider-Man. You guys seen Spider-Man? You guys know about Spider-Man? What does Spider-Man say? What does it say in the movie? With great power comes great responsibility. We have been entrusted with great power. We are not nobodies. We are not so-and-sos or whoever. We're not just some blip in the world. God has instilled greatness in us because he put himself in us. And he values himself. The word says that he is a jealous God. He values himself, and he put himself into us so that we could raise the standard on this world. Hallelujah. We are not put on this earth to live a mediocre life. When we die, we go back to our source. We're not of this world. We're not dirty any longer. So stop living in the dirt. The word says that Jesus said that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We are declared free because of his blood. It was paid for us to escape the empty lifestyle. So we can't live a dirty life because we are not of the dirt. Dirt is not our source. Our source is God. 1 John 5:4-5 says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We defeat this evil world. We just read earlier that overwhelming victories are as yet, despite all these things, despite the dirt, the fire, the stones, the storm, all of that, overwhelming victory is ours. Overwhelming victory. God wants us to understand his truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me. The truth will set you free. Who is the truth? Jesus. Jesus is the truth. The truth is that I'm not stuck in the mire, the cycle of sin. I am not in the prison or in the fire, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. The presence with Jesus sets you free. What brings him on the scene? Worship. Worship. The issue is worship. It's not about us. I mean, we can come up here and sing songs about I am this and I am that and I will this and I da 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 da, I, me, me, me. But that's not what it's about. focusing on ourselves doesn't get us anywhere than a pity party. And a lot of times, at least for me, when you sing all those songs about I and me and all that, all of a sudden I start like remembering. Like junk. Crap. Can I say crap? All that stupid stuff. Like, but when our focus gets off of ourselves, we get to that higher place. And worship is not just music. I know, I mean, we talk about praise and worship, but worship is an act of reverence and respect and love for God. It's action. It's not singing or playing a song. I mean, did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have a guitar player there with them? Well, I can't enter in if I don't, I mean, if so-and-so is not playing. Did Stephen have a worship team with him? No. It's not about the music. It's about our heart. It's a matter of where our heart is. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What is in our heart? God. Who is in us? God. We got to just bring out the source that's already in us. The issue is worship. When we release the source on the scene, despite the fire, despite the stones, we have victory. So we set our eyes on things above. We set our focus. Self-focus will leave you in the dirt with your face full of mud. But worship, vertical worship, worship of God, focusing on God, will release you from your ropes, from your binds, everything. Stephen said, Lord, I receive my spirit. And what else did he say? Forgive them. Forgive them. Staring at people, throwing rocks in his face, and he said, I see you, Lord. Receive my spirit and forgive them. Worship will put us at a place where we can't be if we're self-focused. So there's a fourth man standing there in the fire. Set your eyes on things above, that far-off place. Even if you're in the fire, you feel the snake on your arm, the stones on your face, the rain beating on your back. There's a fourth man there. The truth is not the stones, the snake, or the fire. And once you know the truth, nobody can take that away from you. Not the fire, not the ropes, not the snake, the storms, nothing. The truth is in worship. Jesus is in worship. Worship is an act. It's living your respect and love and adoration for God. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand to our feet. And I'm not going to do, I haven't been taught how to, I didn't go to Bible school and they teach you how to do like altar calls and all these things and whatever. I don't know about all that. But all I know is that God, it's an issue of the heart, okay? And we can come up here to the altar and cry our faces out, snot all over the carpet every week. But if it's not a change of the heart, it doesn't make a difference. God wants you to know today that He is bigger than the fire. He is bigger than the dirt. And it's time for us to remove our focus off of this world, off of our own feelings and emotions and what we see, and put them on things that are above. Because God would say, and He has been saying, my glory is on the rise. My glory is on the rise. There's open heavens, but you will not see it if your eyes are stuck in the dirt. Set your eyes on things above and see my open heavens. Just like Stephen, he saw the open heavens because he looked up. The word says he looked up and saw. So it's time for us to look up. Yes, our lives are busy. Yes, we have issues. Yes, there are sins and things and all kinds of stuff that we could focus on. But it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than us and our own lives. So right now, just where you're standing, just close your eyes so you're not looking at anybody. There's nothing, super religious about closing your eyes. It's just to get your focus off of everything else. So just close your eyes. Just close your eyes for a second. And just seek God for a minute. You may be dealing with something in your heart that the Spirit's been dealing with you about this whole time. He would say, just pick it. Throw it away and let's go. It's time for us to get rid of it. Just shake off that snake. Because it's time for us to go. Lord, right here, right now, I personally come to you, Lord, and I repent for being so self-focused, so dirt-minded that I've lost track, being so busy with life that I have lost track of your business. Lord, you know exactly what issue I'm thinking about right now. And I just give it to you. I shake it off right now and I just say, Lord, that I set my eyes on you. You are bigger than that. You're stronger than that. I just let it go now. Lord, I just thank you that you are bigger. You are stronger. That's the truth, that you are victorious and you have set us free. Your glory is on the rise, and we want to be active participants with what you are doing on this earth. Not self-focused, Lord, but spirit-focused. If there is anybody here that needs prayer for anything, whether it be healing or you haven't publicly confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come right now. And if not, just stand there. Just let your heart, just let him speak to your heart. Get your mind off of the dirt right now and just focus on spirit. We can take 2 minutes. Lord, you are so worthy, so good, so awesome. In all things, in every season, you are great. We put our focus on you, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit. Help us to be about your kingdom business and not our own business. All we are is yours. We turn the tables. We take a stand right now. We turn the tables and say we will be dirt-minded no longer. Because we are not commoners. We are royalty. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. There's a fourth man. There's a fourth man standing there in the fire. There's a fourth man standing there in the fire. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. There's a fourth man. There's a fourth man standing there in the fire. There's a fourth man standing there in the fire. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. The Father's coming down to shut the mouths of the lions. The Father's coming down to shut the mouths of the lions. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. We love you, Lord. We love your presence. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you are there with us in the fire. You are there with us in the lion's den. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just where you're standing, just let your heart love on God just for a little bit. Lord, I love you. I love you. I love you. So we choose you. We choose you. We choose you. We choose you. We choose you, Lord. So we choose you, we love you. I just had a song on my heart and I'd like for us to sing it just together in worship, just declaring our decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Lord, we decide to follow you. We choose you. We decide to follow you. What does that other verse say? Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I go follow. Still I will follow, Lord. No turning back. No turning back. We are not alone. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was an awesome word of the Lord to us. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you have put before our eyes the choice to look down or to look up. And we choose that we are going to look up. We're going to look to you. We're going to look to you in the morning, in the night, in the fire, in the fight. We're going to keep our eyes and our focus on you. Oh, for you are there seated far above all principality and power. Power and might and dominion, and you declared that we are seated there with you, far above, far above, far above. Father, we just worship you. Father, I bless this people with a greater awareness of your presence in their life, with a determination to look to you. I bless this people, Banoholanishi, with open ears to hear your voice. I bless this people, Lord, with a vision of you, a vision of you, a vision of your heart, a vision of the harvest. I bless this people, Lord. I bless this people, Father, with peace, with joy, with the love of God flowing through their lives. I bless them, Lord, with victories, financial victories. I bless their families. Oh, I bless their families that they will all follow the Lord with all of their hearts and look to you, Father. I thank you for turnaround, where there's been trouble in the families. I thank you, Lord, for this is a year of turnaround, that our families will turn back around to you and put their focus on you. Lord, we thank you for victory. We thank you for setting the captive free. We thank you, Lord. Father, we bless this people with your glory, with your presence, with open heavens to hear you and to have angels ascending and descending all around us from heaven to earth. Father, we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. that your will be done, Lord, in Douglas, Arizona. We exalt you as Lord over this town. We lift up the name of Jesus high above every other name, and we declare your lordship in this town, in our families, in our lives, over our finances. Lord, we just thank you that you are Lord of all. Amen. Go and have a wonderful week in the Lord. Amen.